Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. I want to preface everything that I'm going to say this morning by saying that I believe in faith healing. I do not believe in faith healers. Let me say that one more time. I believe in faith healing. I do not believe in faith healers. If somebody really does have the gift of healing people, why in God's name don't they go to the hospital or the funeral home or the assisted living? But I believe in a God who heals. And anytime you find healing, you find God. Somebody say amen. God is, and you heard her, God is still in the healing business today. And whenever and wherever you find healing, you find God. And I want to just tell you, amen, God still heals people today. Still heals. I could go through the congregation left to right, and we'd be here all day giving testimony about God's healing hand. One of the names of God in the Bible is Jehovah Rapha, God the healer. God heals people when He gets ready. And man, humanity, is three-dimensional. We have a mind. Most of us do, right? We have a mind, we've got a body, and we've got a spirit. And our great God brings holiness to the mind. He brings happiness to the spirit. And thank God, Barbara reminded us this morning, He brings healing to the body when we need it. And so James gives us three facts this morning about healing. And I want us to look at those. Some of you all may be here this morning, and you're in need of a healing. You're in need of some type of physical healing. Or maybe it's a mental healing or emotional healing. Well, I'm here today to tell you, God still heals. And sometimes He chooses to heal, and sometimes He chooses not to heal. But first of all, let's look at the human problem that demands healing. Again, verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick?" Now, James asks in verse 13, is anyone among you what? Suffering. And then he asks there in verse 14, is anyone among you sick? I mean, duh. I mean, everybody, even in James' day, there were people suffering, people getting sick. And things are no different today, right? I mean, if I could ask for a show of hands, there are people here today, you're either sick or you're suffering in some kind of way, or someone in your family is sick, or someone in your family is suffering. We all go through these things, right? And so... God's prescription, when we find ourselves suffering, when we find ourselves sick, that we need to pray. And you might call this last decade the decade of disease. Did y'all know that there's 1.7 million people this morning actively battling cancer? Over 600,000 this year will die from some type of cancer. This morning I looked at the list. There's a top 10 list for diseases, and cancer's at the top. Heart disease, heart attacks, stroke, angina, all of these other things that have to do with heart-related issues are in the top 10. Believe it or not, smoking causes big problems. Tobacco uses. 400 and almost 500,000 people will die this year from the result of smoking or chewing or dipping. Okay? There's a lot of other things that are suicides in the top 10. Had a very famous pastor last week take his life. People get depressed. People get down. And pastors are not immune to things like that. I was just amazed. Y'all know that there are STDs. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? There's STDs. They don't even know where they came from, where they come from now. No cure for some of them. There are STDs today that people don't even know what to call them. Don't have any cure for them. And my goodness, it's epidemic. The opioid addiction and the problems that that's causing. There's so much suffering in the world today because of some of these things. And then Alzheimer's is in the top 10 along with dementia. Parkinson's, bipolar disorder, all of these things. This is probably what I would call the decade of disease. Is anyone among you suffering? Yes. Is anyone among you sick? Yes. And the answer to that, you know, saints get sick just like sinners do. Hell, isn't that amazing? You would think that we'd be immune to that. Wrong. Wrong. Saints get sick. Saints suffer just like sinners do. Why is that? Well, suffering can come because of sin. Now, not all suffering, not all sickness is the result of sin. Let me make that real clear. But I want to tell you, sin is the root problem. It is the basic issue. Sin has done a number on us. It was never God's intention for us to get sick and suffer. But sin brought that into the garden. And when humanity fell, we, all of us, have the potential to suffer and deal with sickness in our heart and life. And you remember Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts? They lied to the Holy Spirit. And their lying to the Holy Spirit cost them their lives. Go home and read about it in Acts chapter 5. Sometimes suffering comes as a direct result. Most of those STD and AIDS and some of those other things are the direct result of immorality. Not all of them, but some of them. And so sometimes sickness and suffering is the result of sin. Sometimes suffering is the result of self. Some of the decisions and the choices that we make cause problems and issues. I was talking to a young mama this week, and one of her kids had gotten in a car with one of her buddies. And the person that was driving was drunk as Cootie Brown. And you know what happened? That's right. Because of drunkenness, this person ran into a tree and off a culvert, and everybody in the car was killed. We make poor choices and poor decisions sometimes, and our own selves are the result. Suffering can come because of it. 3 out of 4 Americans are overweight. Uh-oh. Some of us are digging ourselves an early grave with our forks. How many sermons have y'all ever heard on gluttony? You know why that is? Because most pastors are breaking that one. All right? Suffering can come because of self. Some of us today are so stressed out because of family issues and because of job. And that your blood pressure has gone through the roof. You've developed ulcers. And they begun to show up. And as some old Dr. Junior Hill said a long time ago, we need to start treating our bodies like a temple instead of a tavern. Sometimes suffering is the result of sin. Sometimes it's the result of self. And then sometimes it's the result of Satan. Sometimes Satan can bring things against us. That, you say, well, Brother Cal, the Lord's going to let Satan do that to me? He might. There's a whole book called Job in your Bible. And the Lord said, have you ever noticed my servant Job? There's none like him. Can you imagine God bragging on one of us? But he was bragging on, and so Satan shows up and says, oh yeah, let's just see how righteous he'll be if I can take his health from him. Would you let me do that? And then you read through the book of Job. Sometimes Satan is allowed to bring sickness and suffering in our lives. And so there's the human problem. How many of you have been sick lately? Y'all don't want to even own up to that, do you? How many of you have been through some suffering at some point in time in your life? This is an issue that affects every single one of us. And so there's the human problem that demands healing. That's what verses 13 and 14 are all about. And then there's the heartfelt prayer that desires healing. Barbara talked about that and how the prayers of the saints had really helped move her through this time in her life. Look at latter part of 14b. It says, let him, or you could say, or her, call for the elders of the church. Now that's the leadership of the church, okay? And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, God uses doctors. God uses nurses. God uses hospitals. God uses pharmacists and pharmacies today to help heal people. And in this country that we live in, we see God using a lot of different tools to provide healing for people. And I heard somebody... I better not use any names because y'all know who I'm talking about. But I ran into somebody about a month ago, and they were sick as a mule. And I said, have you asked God to take care of you? He said, oh yeah, that's all I'm doing. I said, that's all you're doing? I said, you hadn't been to the doctor? And now this bronchitis and asthma and all this stuff's turned into pneumonia. This guy's walking around with pneumonia. I said, have you been to the doctor? He said, oh no, I'm waiting on God to heal me. And you know what I told him? I said, that's stupid. God gave you a mind. And you're supposed to use your mind and any available avenues that God uses to bring... Pat Fuller's a nurse. I mean, God uses medical personnel, medical staff to heal people today. Now, can God just, touch somebody and heal them in a month? Yes. And He still does that today, especially in some third world countries that I've had the privilege of going to. God still heals a lot of people like that in other places, and He does it here too. But God uses a lot of different tools to bring healing, and there are many different methods that God uses to heal people. Now, there's some scripture over in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12. You have this King Asa. And he was the king of Judah for about 40 years. And King Asa got sick. And unlike my buddy, he didn't call on God. He called on all the physicians. And the Bible says that he died from that particular malady that had come up against him. Now, I want to say this. All healing comes from God, whether it comes through doctor, nurses, medication. All healing comes from God. But when you get sick and when the old issue of suffering begins, guess what you need to do first? You call on Him. You call on Him first and foremost. And then you seek other avenues of help. Now, if it's God's will, your affliction can be healed. I said, if it's God's will. We don't always know if it's God's will to heal everybody, because if it was God's will to heal everybody, none of us would ever die. Right? But bless God, He's so good. One of these days, He's going to give us our ultimate healing and we'll never get sick again. I could preach about that for a little while. But the word sick there in verse 14, we're talking about someone there who's probably bedridden or very, very sick. This isn't somebody who's got a headache or a hangnail. Okay? I'm not saying you can't ask somebody to pray for you if you've got a headache. My son-in-law has migraine headaches. And we've been praying for him for a long time, praying that God would set him free from that. But we're talking about here someone here in this passage of Scripture that's very sick, can't get out of bed. And so what he or she does is to call on the elders or the leadership of the church. And the word call means to invite. And so the one who's sick exercises his or her faith by calling on the leadership of the church to pray. Y'all with me so far? All right. And then, now we're not talking about some faith healing service in an auditorium. This is more like a prayer meeting in someone's home. Now, this is a home right here. This is God's house. Okay? And so people can come here and ask for the leadership of the church to pray for healing. We can do that. But what we've got here is more like a home prayer meeting, praying for healing. And notice something else. It's the faith of the elders that helps bring healing. The faith of the ones that are praying. And can I tell you, when I have a prayer need, I'm going to call on somebody to pray for me after I've asked God to touch me. I'm going to ask some people I believe in that believe in prayer. And I'm not going to ask some doubter. I'm not going to ask a doubting Baptist to pray for me. I'm going to ask a shouting Baptist to pray for me. You understand what I'm saying? Confident prayers. The Bible says you, in the book of James, you pray in doubt, you're going to go without. And so the confidence of praying. And can I just stand here flat-footed this morning and tell you God can heal you of any disease. He is able. And He can. And so I want someone praying for me that believes that way, that God's able to heal. And so, and then he moves on to talk about, now, God doesn't always choose to heal. Man, I think about old Bob Golden, and we prayed for him, and he came out of that deal over there in Houston. We thought old Bob had whipped this thing, and God had blessed him. And for a few weeks, He did. But you know what? Cancer didn't whip Bob Golden. He whipped cancer. He did. And I wished I could tell you all the things that I'm learning about Bob's death, his home going. God is still moving even after Bob's gone through what Bob did the last few weeks and months of his life. We had this kind of prayer service at First Baptist Woodlawn many, many years ago. And you know what God did? There was an old boy by the name of Pat Ransom who had just retired from the military, and he was fixing to kick up his heels and really enjoy his retirement. And all of a sudden, he goes to the doctor and he's got stage 4 cancer. And so he came brokenhearted, he and his wife, to Brother Shep there at the church, and they asked the church, the leadership of the church, to pray over him and anoint him with oil, and we did that. Now, he'd been given about 6 weeks to live. And you know what Pat did? He lived for another year and a half. And he went all over Clarksville, anywhere and everywhere that he'd have an invitation, and dozens of people came to faith in Christ through Pat's illness and through Pat's sickness. None of us know how long we have. But I want to tell you, if we'll get to the point when we call on leadership to pray over us, and what that means is to pray that God would be glorified no matter what happens, that opens up the door for God to do exactly what He wants to do and wants to do, regardless of what we think and what we say. Amen? So, but God doesn't heal everybody. 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul said, who God used to heal hundreds of people. Paul said there in 2 Timothy 4:20 that he had to leave a brother in Christ behind because he was sick. And so it's not always God's will. Elisha had fallen sick from an illness over there in 2 Kings that he would die from. And so one day it will not be God's will to heal you if Jesus tarries. You will die from that sickness. Well, I didn't come here to hear that today, Brother Cal. That's why you better get right with Jesus today. That's why you better make sure that you're right with the Lord. Now, I'm praying for David Littleton. It's a tough fight. But I believe David's winning that battle because God is hearing our prayers, but we don't know exactly what God, and I've heard that come out of Dick's mouth. We don't know exactly what God's will is, but there is a heartfelt prayer that desires healing. And we are praying that God would be glorified, just like we were with Barbara, whether she lives or whether she died. But she honored God, and God, did God not get the glory out of her testimony this morning? And so there's a heartfelt prayer that desires healing. And then there's a heavenly power that delivers healing. And really, here's what I wanted to get to. The latter part of verse 14 says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sin, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God answers prayer. Now, it may be the surgeon's scalpel that God uses, but it's God holding the surgeon in his hands. We may apply the dressing, but it's God that heals the wound. Now, what's the significance of the oil? Well, if you read your Old Testament, you realize that there are seasons and assignments that God gives to people, and they're often anointed with oil. Anytime a king was about to take a kingship, he would be anointed with oil. And oil was symbolic of the Holy Spirit's power. And then you remember the Good Samaritan? What did he anoint the one who'd been beaten up with? What? Oil was one of the medicinal things that were used back in the day. And so the significance of anointing someone with oil in the name of the Lord, all that is symbolic of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who heals today. See this right here? Now this is some special oil. It's anointing oil from Israel. And if I could pass this around and take the top off for you, oh, it smells heavenly. It's got, let's see, frankincense and myrrh and some other spices that I can't even pronounce. Spikenard, all kinds of oils. But this is from Israel, and it's anointing oil. It's what they use over there. And so while I was in the Holy Land last year, I got some and brought it back with me. Now, is there any healing power in this oil? No. But it is symbolic of the power and the presence of the Spirit of Almighty God. And so when we're praying over a sick person, we anoint their heads with oil, asking the Holy Spirit, praying in the name of the Lord, to heal this person. Have we got that? And so, what's this stuff, Brother Cal, about committing sins and asking somebody to be forgiven and confessing trespasses to one another? Well, when someone comes and exercises their faith and asks the leadership of the church to pray, and as the leadership begins to surround them and anoint them with oil and pray for them, one of the questions that's always asked is, do you have any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life? Because you see, if you do, God's not going to hear that prayer. And by the way, what if somebody is really lost? How stupid it would be to pray for God to heal somebody, and then God heal them for them only to wind up in hell. The most important healing is spiritual healing. And so this is one of the, even here we're supposed to confess our sins one to another. Now, I'm kind of careful on that because you don't want to confess your sins to somebody who struggles with gossip. Hello? Why do we gossip about, anyways? That's another thing. But the spiritual side of this is that you not only need to be close to the Lord, you need to be clean. And confession of sin. How do you feel when you've come clean with God about your sin? And He's washed you. And you've forsaken that sin and got it behind you and under the blood of it. How does that make you feel? Good all under, right? Well, that's what ought to take place in this prayer meeting. Everything that's done according to the Scripture, and it says that the prayer of faith will save the sick, the faith of the elders. The one who's called for prayer has already exercised his or her faith. And then the anointing of the oil is symbolic. We're asking you, Lord, in the power of your name, to anoint this person with the healing power of the Holy Spirit. We don't know exactly what your will is, but we're praying that this situation might bring you great glory and honor. And this person, as far as he or she knows it, is clean before you. They have confessed and turned it. Mercy me. I'm having some trouble here. Isn't it amazing how the devil always gets in the sound system? Because he can get y'all distracted that way, see? And so spiritual healing is the spiritual question needs to be asked and answered before the sickness question. Does God still heal? You bet. Does God still save? You bet. And I've said all of that to say this morning. If you need healing, we have a ministry in this church. We've prayed over people here at this altar that have asked for it. I'll never come to you and say, you need to ask the elders of the church, the leadership of the church to pray for you. That's got to be you. You've got to ask for that. And then I'll call for some elders or for some leaders in the church to come and pray over you. And we'll pray. We'll ask God's glory to fall fresh on us in this situation. We'll make sure that you're close and clean and make sure all that confession and repentance is taking place. And then we'll ask God to heal you. And we could go around the room this morning. There's Teddy Bigger sitting right over here. Here's Barbara. There's Gary Wallace. I could just go. I mean, I believe David Littleton's going to come in here one day and give testimony. How many of you heard about Melba Dowdy this week? Anybody heard about Melba? I believe God's touched that girl. She's got MS. And she's been walking with a cane and a walker for years. And this lady from Jamaica who was cleaning her house up, fixing to go back home, and she said, Melba, I know you believe the Lord. Do you believe in prayer? And Melba said, yes. And she said, let's pray. And she laid her hands on Melba's legs, and Melba's been healed. Not of MS, but I want to tell you what, I saw a picture, a video of her. She was half running down the sidewalk without any cane at all. And what I told Melba was, well, why didn't you get her to lay her hands on your eyes while she was at it? Because, you know, she's still struggling with her eyesight. But I want to tell you, God still heals. And the greatest healing that takes place is a spiritual healing. And if you're here this morning, God will touch you and heal you and give you a brand new heart. Not a new start, a brand new heart. And that comes through faith, as you trust in the Lord. And some of you are here and you need to pray a prayer of faith for God to save you today. God will save anybody. I'm living proof of that. And if you'll just come clean with God about your sin, if you'll just admit who you are, that you are hopelessly and helplessly lost without Him, and you'll just, in your own words, ask God, please, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Turn me around. Save me. If you'll place all your trust and faith in Him today, He will do that. He will do that. And then you begin a life of obedience. And that begins with water baptism, which is a symbol and sign of what you've done. We're probably going to have a baptism here next Sunday. And I, for one, if you need to get right with God today, do it today so we can get you baptized next Sunday. And then you just allow God to begin to grow you and mature you. You say, I've done all that, Brother Cal. Well, here's my question. Are you sick? Are you suffering? The leadership is here. The prayers of the saints are with you. Do you need for us to pray for you today? God still heals, and God still saves. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that your Spirit might lead us right now. And those that need to pray and receive Christ, that right now, even right now, they would ask you in their own words to forgive you, to forgive them of their sin, and that you would give them the grace and the faith to receive Christ today and surrender to Him and Him alone. And Lord, if there are folks here that have been saved and need to be healed, we don't always know what your will is, but we know that we know that we know that you're able. And whoever this is needs to be healed. Well, I pray, God, for an anointing on this service, that the Holy Spirit might have His way in our time of response during this time of invitation. You do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.